As they're heading down, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Today we're going to continue to look at the life of Jeremiah. In this passage today, God is calling his people back into a relationship with him. It's easy to get caught up in the busyness of this world and all the different temptations that take our eyes off what is truly important. The world has a lot of desires that look so pleasing to us, and these things can lure us away from the Lord. Maybe today's passage is God's way of calling you back to himself. Let's listen to God speaking to us as we read out of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 7. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house, and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I'll let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your forefathers forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal, and follow other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, we are safe. Safe to do all these detestable things. Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord. I'm going to stop right there. And the first thing that we see today is severe consequence for disobedience. Severe consequences for disobedience. Like I said last week, God has called Jeremiah to a very tough task, to speak things to people that they don't want to hear. I feel so sorry for Jeremiah. God calls him to go to the temple gate, right as they come into the temple, and preach another tough message. Jeremiah's hearers were probably saying, enough of the doom and gloom, Jeremiah. Tell us that God loves us. I know people today think the same things. You know, Kurt, stop sharing the unpleasant things that we don't necessarily want to hear about, that we're not living our lives like we should. But even in the hard messages, God's love comes through because God provides them a way of escape if they just would see it. There's a time when God calls Jeremiah to tell of God's great love for his people, and we'll see that here in the next week or so. But part of God's incredible love is to warn us when we're off track and we're going the wrong way. Verse 6 and 7 today says, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your forefathers forever and ever. I want you to hear that. God wanted his people to live in the promised land that he gave them. God gave them the key to the promised land. He gave them the key to stay in the promised land. Do this, and I'll let you live in this place. God didn't want to bring destruction on the people, but the people were not showing concern for each other. They're not showing concern for the law of God. They did whatever they wanted to do, whatever made them happy. Because obviously that's the goal of life, right? Just to be happy. That is the goal of the world and even most so-called Christians. But nowhere in the Bible does God call us to be happy. Does that sound strange to you? Does that take you by surprise? God calls us to be faithful. And when we are faithful, we will find the true joy and peace in everything. Verse 9 says, "Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal, and follow other gods you have not known?" They followed all the other gods of this world. They followed their own desires to make them happy. They didn't care if they were living for God or not. I'm happy. Verse 10, God says, "Do all these things, and then come and stand before me in this house, which bears my name, and say, we are safe. Safe to do all these detestable things." God is appalled. "My people live like the world. They follow the philosophies of the world and live their sinful lives. And then they have the gall to stand before me on the Sabbath day in my house like there's nothing wrong." These people were not honestly seeking God. They didn't just mess up a few times here or there. God is ready to forgive those people who mess up a few times here or there, who make bad choices. What God has a problem with is people who choose the god of this world all week long, and they come into His presence and say, "Everything is okay. I'm here. I will make up for it by going to church. I can follow the other gods all week long, but I'll make up for it by coming to church." You lie, steal, gossip, get caught up in lusts, greed. You live your lives for yourself, and you perform your duty to God by coming to church for an hour a week. God is telling us that there's disaster waiting for us if we do not reform our ways. Reform our ways. Verse 3 says, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place." God told Jeremiah to go stand at the gate to the temple and preach a message of reform. Let me tell you, by nature, people don't like to hear reform. They don't like to hear what they're doing is not right. Who are you to tell me I shouldn't do this? Who are you to tell me that I cannot follow the desires of my heart? They want to follow their sinful nature because that will lead them to do the things that they want to do in their lives. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 12, 2, "Do not conform any longer." You were, but not any longer. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." We are not to conform to the pattern of the world, but we are to reform back to God's Word. People may take offense that I'm calling them to examine their lives. It's my life. I can live my life however I want to live. My life is between me and God. Let me tell you what, people of Jeremiah's day took offense that with Jeremiah, when Jeremiah preached a higher standard of living for them to live. People may take offense at what I'm preaching. People may come up to me and say, "You're driving people away by talking about the judgment of God, about reforming and changing your ways. People are not comfortable with your messages. Your messages are too negative, telling people that they are wrong and they need to repent." Well, let me tell you flat out, the worst thing I can do for anybody is to help them feel comfortable in their sin. That's the worst thing I can do for anybody, is to help them feel comfortable in their sin. If you are comfortable in your sin, you are not trying to live for the Lord. People need a wake-up call. I need a wake-up call to reform and get uncomfortable about their disobedience to God. I cannot water down the words of God to make people feel good about their sinful lifestyle. You see where Jeremiah preached this message of reform. Jeremiah didn't preach this message of reform out into the world. He preached it in the temple gate. He preached it to God's people at God's house. We are the ones that need to hear this so that we can be salt and light of the world. God's message to Jeremiah was very clear. Very clear here. Shape up or destruction is coming your way. If you choose not to repent, Babylon is going to come in and Babylon is going to take you captive back to their land. You know, this is a message that God has for us today as well. If we choose to live our lives apart from God, destruction is coming to us as well. It's not that we're going to be prisoners in a foreign land. We're not going to be sent off to Babylon. But the stakes are much higher for us. If we choose not to repent, the Bible tells us we'll spend an eternity in hell. The Bible does not picture hell as a desirable place. Mark 9:48 tells us this about hell: where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. There are a lot of preachers who will not preach about hell. They want to keep it light and they want to keep it fun. There are many people who do not believe that hell is a real place. But if they are wrong, they are stuck there for all eternity, where the fire never goes out and the worm never dies. And you will never die. Being a prisoner looks like a lot better option than going to a place like this. I'm not trying to scare people to come to Jesus. I'm just trying to lay out the consequences of our decisions. Many people use the argument that a loving God would not cast people into eternal punishment. But if God is loving, God cannot overlook sin that is done, the injustice that is done. Sin has to be dealt with. Just think about if someone murders someone, is it unloving to lock that person up for the rest of their lives? They made a mistake. Let them loose and let them live their lives. Well, justice calls for them to serve all that they have, to serve their whole life. A murderer knows the consequences of their actions, but they do it anyway, hoping they don't get caught. Sin's natural consequences is death. That's sin's consequences is death. Eternal punishment. And let me tell you, we will always be caught. But God shows us His great love for us if we embrace it. That was the bad news, but God shows His great love for us. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus didn't wait for us to get our act together and die upon the cross. He died for us, and He stands waiting for us with His nail-pierced hands. He's reaching out towards us. If you are heading for destruction, it's your own fault, because God warns us about the destruction in our disobedience. And He also has provided a way through the horrible cross for us to come to Him. God doesn't want anyone to perish. It says in Ezekiel 18:32, God says, "For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live." God is calling out to each one of us today. God has shown that He is a forgiving God. He wants us to live in the promised land. We cannot even fathom the depths of God's love for us. Jesus told a parable about 100 sheep. One was lost. He cared so much for that one that was lost that He left the 99 to go and find that lost one. God cares about the soul of every man, woman, and child. He wants all of us to be in His tender care. He wants every one of us to be His child. I can only imagine, though, that there's some here today that are not walking in a faithful walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know who you are, but God is calling you back to Himself and to live for Him. He died for you, and He wants nothing more than for you to enter into a relationship with Him for all eternity. But the second thing I want to see here today is many people just have an empty religion. Wow. Israel struggled with a major problem. They actively participated in the sacrifices of God. They did the sacrifices of God on the Sabbath, but their actions, their words, and their attitudes and their thoughts were different when they were not in the temple of God. Their relationship with God was completely defined by the temple and the time that they spent there. That's all. When they were away from the temple, they weren't living for the Lord. You know, we can come to God's house claiming that we are His people, yet our hearts can be far from Him. Some people haven't given Jesus an hour of attention all week long, but then they come into His house claiming that they love Him and His Word. Jeremiah was sick at what he was seeing. Something needed to change in the very heart of the worshipers. Even though they were going through the motions, they were worshiping the true God, they were ignoring God the rest of the week. Their body continued to go through the motions, but their spirit and their hearts were far from God. Jesus says in Mark 7, 6 and 7, Jesus replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it's written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." I hope that doesn't describe you here today, that your heart is far from God. God is on your lips, but He's far from your heart. If all we do is sing the songs, pray the prayers, open the Bible while you're here, but do what you want when you're not here, you are not living for God. Jesus talks about a parable of the wise and foolish builders. The wise man built his house on the rock, and it endured the strong persecution of this world, the pressures of this world. But the foolish man built his house on the sand, and it came crashing down. Well, Jesus says that our lives are these houses. What the difference is between the two men in this parable is both men heard the words of the Lord, but only one put into practice what the Lord had said. And that was the man who built his house on the rock. We need to do, we need to put into practice what we hear on Sunday morning and what we read in our daily Bible times. Too many times in church, we claim a person is faithful if they are here. Oh, that person's faithful because they came and they sat in the pew. Let me tell you, just because you are here, just because you attend church on Sundays and maybe even on Wednesdays, doesn't make you faithful. I think we live with this mindset that all God wants from us is to go to church. I'm faithful if I sit down on the pew. God doesn't just want a few hours per week. God wants you. He wants your life. You see, the real issue is not religion. The real issue is knowing Jesus Christ. Some folks think it's about rituals. If I get baptized, I'll have eternal life. But being baptized doesn't save anyone. It's a sign of what has happened in your life that you are saved, but it's Jesus that saves you. It's not the method or performing the baptism. Some parents bring their child to do the parent-child dedication, wanting their child to grow up and follow Jesus. That just because they go through that parent-child dedication doesn't mean they automatically are going to find Jesus. That's just a ritual. That's just a ceremony that we do. It's all about what Jesus has done for us. He died on the cross. Not to follow a religion, but a relationship for us to be in. You know, one of the songs that we sang this morning is "I'm Coming Back to the Heart of Worship." Matt Redman, who wrote the song, commented that people were almost worshiping the music and not Jesus, who the music was about. So Matt Redman said that his pastor did a very brave thing. He decided to get rid of the sound system and the band for a season, and we gathered with just our voices. His point was that we'd lost our way in worship, and that the way to get back to the heart of worship would be to strip away everything. And listen to this statement. He says, reminding his church family to be producers in worship, not consumers. We are to be producers of worship, not consumers. What does that mean? Worship is not about us. And that's why we sang that song. It's not about us. It's not about what makes us feel good. Worship is about Jesus. Worship is about glorifying Jesus. Do you understand today that what we do here is not about you? It's about Him. It's about Him. You listen to the words of that song that we sang today. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that'll bless your heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. You know, just think about that. It's all about Him. Because we can sit here and we can sing at the top of our lungs with our hands lifted high, and we can go out and we can do all sorts of things throughout the week that doesn't glorify Him. Jeremiah condemned the misguided worship that people brought to God. Their worship was surface level. Look at what Jesus says in John 4:23. He says, yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Is worshiping Jesus what you want to do from the core of your being, from the spirit inside of you? I ask that because we are made to worship. But it's like almost if we feel like we're doing God, it's almost like we're giving God a favor by coming to worship Him. God, you are so lucky that I came to church today to worship you. Really? That's not the attitude that we should have. It's our privilege. It's an absolute privilege for us to come into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's our privilege to worship. So sometimes we substitute a cold, dead, formal religion for life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. I think of that in a marriage relationship, being a covenant relationship. Covenant relationship is like our relationship with God. It should be a covenant relationship. Think about how your marriage partner would think if you did this. You slept at home every night with your spouse, and you ate supper every night with your spouse, but then you would say, because I did these two things, I have fulfilled my duty as a spouse. I have kept my vow to my spouse. Now I can do whatever I want with the rest of my time. I don't think that would fly very good with your spouse. Just having your body at home these specific times, those are good, but that's not. It's more than that. Your heart needs to be in it 24 hours a day. We can't take a break from marriage and sleep around with other people and then come back and pick up the marriage like nothing happened. Now I'm back home. Everything is fine. This is a picture of what Israel was doing with God. In their walk with God, they cheated on God all week long, living in sin in the world. And then they came to the temple on Sabbath day, which would be Saturday. And somehow in their minds, everything was all right in their relationship with God. Really? Do we believe that? Many people live the same way in their lives today. Like I said, all week long, living however you want to live, and then come back, and God is privileged that I'm here on Sunday morning. Joshua 24:15 says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Do you hear that? We will serve the Lord. Not believe in the Lord. Not I will attend services that talk about the Lord. Not about giving God a few hours of your time and your week. I will serve the Lord. We are servants of the Almighty God. Servants don't just give a few hours here or there of their time to their master. Every time belongs to their master. They're always on the clock. But too often we mix up this relationship. And we get to the point where Jesus is supposed to serve us. Wow. Can we get to that point where we think, man, Jesus is supposed to serve us? No. We are supposed to be servants of His. Not that He serves us. So really look at your life. Are you serving Jesus? Or do you see that you expect Jesus to serve you and to make you happy in your own life? Well, the application for today. The application. What type of worshiper are you? I think there are two different kinds of worshipers. There were people who were true worshipers. They loved the Lord and they were very faithful to live according to God's word. It was a joy for them to go to the house of the Lord. It wasn't a burden. Oh man, I got to go to the house of the Lord again to worship. They loved it. Psalms 122:1 says this, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. These people came to worship and said, I can't wait. I want to be in the presence of other people, in the presence of God, just worshiping. They see their need for God and their desire for the risen Christ. There were others who came to the temple who were following other gods, yet they wanted to keep the rituals of faith. Maybe we worship at other things all week long, but we still come to church to fulfill an obligation to God. I guess I'll go to church. You fulfill the religion part of your week. You can check that off your box, and then you just go live however you want. But God is calling His people back to a relationship with Him. It's about an everyday, every moment walking with the risen Savior. God had Jeremiah preach this message to the people as a warning for them. Shape up or destruction is coming your way. They didn't listen. Instead, they listened to an easier message given by the world. They put their trust in their physical bodies coming to a physical place, coming to worship. That's what they put their trust in. I just need to go to the temple. If I just go to the temple, if I just go to church. Listen to verse 4. Look at verse 4. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. They didn't think that anything would happen to them because the temple of the Lord was in their presence. All I had to be was in proximity to the temple of the Lord and everything would be fine. God dwelt with them, but they didn't dwell with God. Today, I believe God is trying to deliver the same message to us today. Just as some people found false hope in the temple, I think there are people today that find false hope in the church. I'm okay. I attend church. I go and I worship. That's good. I'm glad you come to church. I'm glad you're here. That's a good step. But the problem comes, we live the rest of our lives doing whatever we want to do. The temple of God didn't save Jerusalem from Babylon coming in to destroy them. Neither is the church going to save you from destruction that might come your way. It pains me to say this, but I believe that there are people that go to church that are not saved. There are many people who are members of churches but are not saved. Matthew 7:21 is a clear indication of this. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You know, I use this verse an awful lot, but I don't want someone to get up before Jesus and say, I didn't know. I didn't know. There are a lot of people who come to church and they say, Lord, Lord, on Sunday morning. They sing the songs, give a little money, listen to a sermon, but they go out and they don't obey the Lord Jesus in their lives. Jeremiah's listeners came and they worshiped. I want you to see that about this passage. They came to the temple. They came and they worshiped. They brought the appropriate sacrifices. Yet it didn't change the way that they lived their lives outside of the temple. Religion will not change you. Church doesn't necessarily change you. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ, when we surrender to Him, changes us. So are we going to start living our whole lives for the Lord? So at this time, I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward and lead us in our closing song. And the closing song is, Have Thy Own Way. Have Thy Own Way, Lord. I pray that we leave here with a different view on life. God has called us to look at our lives and to reform, to transform, to be more like Jesus. God says in Haggai 1:5, this is a warning. He says, Now this is what the Lord Almighty says, Give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. It's not about just coming to church. Give careful thought to your ways. What are your motives in your life? I pray that we are not found just playing religion in our lives, but that we are giving our whole lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's stand and sing the song together. Have Thy Own Way, Lord. Have Thy Own Way.